It was only when you're old that you forgot things. And we were just speaking this morning, things get mixed up, so anyway, it doesn't matter. Now, I wonder if we can just turn to the Lord's Word. But before we read anything, I would just like to ask two questions. And the first one is, do you know Christ as your Saviour? And the second one is, are you saved? You know, I find that's not a word that people like to be asked. They would rather be asked, what church do you go to? You know, anything other than, are you saved? And you know, I'm glad I'm saved. And Christ is my Saviour. You know, and it's Peter that says, Christ is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to him, or come to repentance. That said, I would just like to read God's word about two different stories in the Bible. I know we've got a lot of stories, but these are two I want to have a few words on this evening. And the first one is found in Mark chapter 10, and it's about the rich young ruler. And we'll read from verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him, and asked him, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. And then he says, Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. And honour thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up thy cross and follow me. And the young man was sad at that saying. And he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now that will do for the first reading. We'll leave the next one to later on. I don't know if we'll reach there, but we'll try. Now here's a young man. You know, he wanted to be sure of eternal life. And that's what he could do. And you know, if there's anybody in the hall here that's not saved, you know, really there's nothing you could do. But one thing, and that is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And I think that an answer he gives a wee bit off-putting, a wee bit cheeky, you know. I'm never wrong, but just a wee bit cheeky. Because when God asked him, or Jesus asked him, and he knows the commandments, and he lists the commandments, and he comes up with this glib answer, we could call it. And he said, Master, all these things I've kept. You know. But that's what the young man said. And then, and I picked a specific Mark's gospel for this, because there's none of the rest of the gospel mention this. And it says in verse 21 that Jesus, beholding, loved this man. And, you know, Jesus loves each one of us. And he died on the cross for us, that we might have eternal life, if we accept Christ as our Saviour. And of course, when Jesus loved him, he mentioned certain things to him. And he says, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell everything you've got, and give to the poor. And you know, I think that young man's challenge to the Lord at the beginning was exposed. Because his love for money, or wealth, or possessions, whatever they were, he wasn't able to do that. Because when you think about it, he failed in the first commandment, which is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And this young man, if I think about him, he came to Jesus wondering what he could do. You know, and I said already, there's nothing we can do. But he left, sadly, seeing what he couldn't do. And you know, if you don't remember anything you've read, or anything I've said, there's just two things I'd like to leave before we go into the next chapter. Is that if you're saved, you're on the way to heaven. And I can't say the word unsaved, because that means you'd be saved in the first place, and unsaved is, and that's impossible. Because when you're saved, you could never be lost. So we'll use the word undecided. And if you're undecided tonight for Christ, you're on that broad way to hell. And you know, it's a fearful thought to think that you know somebody who's on that broad way. And could I ask, what barriers are keeping you from the Saviour this evening? It could be friends or family, workmates, it could be anything. You know, I remember way back, I've got good memories, way back when I accepted Christ as my Saviour, it wasn't with my friends or my family or my workmates or anything. It was my immediate family I was worried about. Because I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. And you know, something that's very difficult to lead a Christian life in a home that doesn't know Christ. But anyway, the Lord is always there for you, and we'll need about that. And then we find, speaking about this young man, in Mark chapter 8, we read that what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, just think about it, and lose his own soul, or what shall he give in exchange for his soul. And I'm just going through and thinking about all the rich things in the Bible. And there's another one in Luke, and if I remember correctly, it's about a man who was a farmer. He had great crops. And he says, I will knock down my barns and build larger ones and contain all his wealth. He forgot about God. And he said to him, thou fool, whose shall these things be? Now, could I say this in verse 21? Jesus showed genuine love for this young man. Even though he knew what his action would be, or his decision would be. Because, you know, God knows the most inner thoughts of our life. He knows what you're sitting there thinking tonight. And you know, Jesus, I can't say he loved you because that's past tense. But Jesus loves you. He loves you that much that he died for you on Calvary. Now we've got another young man to have a look at. I don't know if he's young, I'm sorry. Right? But that's found in Acts. Excuse me, I'm not used to this. It's found in Acts chapter 16. And it's about the Philippian jailer. And we'll break in at verse 25. And we can read this story, or part of it. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And he sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard him. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. So the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened. And everyone's bonds or chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing all the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for a light, and he sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out, and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And then comes the answer. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And he spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes, and he was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them out into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. What a wonderful gospel meeting. Now, as I said, I've broken at this story. I don't really know where it starts. I'm not that clever. But I think if we take it back a bit, and there's this certain young woman, the damsel, and she seemed to bother Paul. because she had a spirit inside her. And she did this many days. And then Paul cured her. But she's a master's. Seen that everything that they had planned is just going out the window. Right? And they brought Paul and Silas before the rulers and the magistrates, and they made up stories, and they said to them, these men, being Jews, troubled our city, teaching customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither observe, being Romans. And you know, then we start into the story, and Paul and Silas, for doing what they did, for helping that young damsel, young woman, they were stripped, they were beaten, they were cast into prison, they were placed in stocks in the most inner cell, and the jailer was told, keep them safe. And when you think about it, well, I suppose this happens someplace in the world, but here in Britain this would never happen. But for being Christians, this is what happened to Paul and Silas. But then a surprise thing happened. Paul and Silas, they prayed to God, and they sang praises. And it says the prisoners heard, but one thing else God heard. And God sent an earthquake. And I know it's a subject I thought about, and I say it's a bad subject to bring up, especially Japan. But anyway, but God sent an earthquake, and it shook the foundations of the prison, and the doors were open wide, and all the bands or chains were loosed. And not the strange thing about it, but the good thing about it was not just Paul and Silas's chains that was loosed. It was all the prisoners. And of course, I don't know, the jailer must have had a sleeping tablet that night, because all that noise going on, you never heard a thing. But he was waiting out of his sleep. I don't know how at this late stage, but and no wonder, all that noise. You know, he was going to kill himself, because that's what would have happened to him anyway if Paul and Silas hadn't been there. And because they were placed in his care, and he supposed that not just Paul and Silas had fled, but everyone who was in the prison, I don't know how many it was, it doesn't tell me in the Bible, so I'm not going to take any guesses. Right? But listen to what Paul says. Do thyself no harm. We're all here. Every one of them. You know, if that happened in this country and something like that happened, well, the prisoners would be all over the place. But not here. God is in control. And this next thing happens, the jailer calls for a light. You know, I say to myself, I wonder what he called for a light for. You know, he wasn't believing what Paul was telling him. He's saying. And then he sprang in to the jail. And he was trembling. And he fell down. And he brought them all out. And then the next question was, when you listen to what the jailer said, What must I do to be saved? A wonderful, wonderful thing to ask. I just hope there's somebody in the meeting tonight could just ask that question. And I'm sure there's plenty of brothers in this meeting would gladly, even sisters, show you the way to the Lord. And the answer came back. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then he spake the words of the Lord to all that were in his house. Now, I don't know who was all in the house. All the prisoners were there. Have they got any idea? But everybody was in that house heard the gospel. And they rejoiced, believing in God. You know, and that's me. I wouldn't say I'm about finished, because I say that two stories. We all know it. It's two stories, but it's in the same books in the Bible. But you know, sometimes people say, oh, I don't need to get saved. You know, I'm too bad. You know, I don't need to be saved. I do good works. You know. But see, if we go back to Mark chapter 10, there's a question asked. And it's the disciples ask it. Who then can be saved? And I would say, all that believe, simple. You see, because, and I like to read this because I say, my memory's not that good. And it's in Ephesians chapter 2. Might take me ages to find it. Ephesians chapter 2. And it's in verse 8 and 9. And it says there, for by grace are you saved, through faith, not of yourself or selves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now that's what I was thinking about the first chap. The rich young ruler, he wanted to boast about his salvation because he could buy it. But you know, nobody could buy salvation. Christ paid the price at Calvary. And is that him done as a work that saves, once and forever done, never to be repeated? God will never slay his son again. And then I think about the people that's, you know, I'm too bad, the Lord won't have me. And this brings me to a third person. And it's a man called Saul. You know, when I had a look at this, I never noticed it before. You know, when you read your Bible every day. And Saul became Paul. One letter changed his name. One letter. It changed his life as well. You know, and I was trying to find out things about Paul, how bad he was, you know. And then when you look at it, you know, Paul was a very religious man. His intentions and his efforts were all sincere concerning to him, what he did, right? And as the Bible went in these days, he used Bible. Sorry. And they believed that the Christian movement at that time was dangerous. And Saul hated the Christian faith. And he persecuted Christians without mercy. He even was at or present in the stoning of Stephen, the first martyr. And I don't know, I heard somebody say a long time ago that he held Stephen's clothes in his hand. But one day, Paul was granted permission to travel to Damascus. He had a job to do. It was to capture Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem. But you know, God had other ideas. You know, and it doesn't matter what you're thinking about, what you're going to be thinking about doing. Don't. I remember years ago, I'm breaking into the story and I'm sorry. I remember years and years ago, when we used to have a caravan. And we used to say, when we retire, we can do this and we can do that. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. And I'm sure that a few could agree with me in this hall tonight. Although it's hard to bear sometimes, that God has each one of our lives planned. And it doesn't matter what we do, we can never change that plan. So, going back to Paul, he was granted this to bring all these Jews back. All these Christians. But you know, God stopped him in his track on the road to Damascus. And that man's life was never the same. He was transformed by God from a persecutor of Christians to a preacher for Christ. The persecutor became persecuted. And we read that here in his word. And you know, when you become a Christian, people don't want to know you really. Not really. But you know, at the very end of it, as I was saying to you, that some people think, you know, they don't need Christ, they're too bad, or whatever fish wouldn't have them, they're no good to him. You know. But Paul could say, sinners, of whom I'm chief. And could I just ask you this evening, what will you do with Christ? Or the text at the back says, what think you of Christ? And as I said at the beginning, if you forget everything else I've said tonight, just remember this. If you're saved, you're on the way to heaven. Not easy. Never is. Nobody ever promised, or God, or Jesus never promised the Christians an easy life, because it's not. Not really. I'll tell you one thing about this. You put your hands into his hand, and he leads you. He keeps you, he guards you, and he takes you on the road to heaven. As I say, if you're undecided, you might not even get outside that door tonight. And then whose shall these things be? Now, I'm very sorry, I don't think I've left our brother very much time. But he said to me, if you feel like you want to just keep going, just take it. Thank you. So, as I say, that's all I've got to say tonight, and may the Lord bless his word. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible's a wonderful book. We learn a great deal if we read it. And don't skip over these things that you think you know, because you don't know them. Now, when we just close in prayer. And Father, we thank you this evening for sitting under thy presence under the sound of the gospel. And Father, thou hast said that thy word will not return. turn into the void. And if there be any in this gathering tonight who are undecided, may they say, Christ, for me. And our Father, we just ask that thou part us with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. Guard and keep each one of us. Till that day comes when we'll be called home and we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And we'll be with him forevermore. Take our thanks in his wonderful, wonderful name. Amen. There are the hymns on place. I had to ask, I always seem to get the either the middle or a chorus, something so that's the brains of it. And it's hymn number 713. When in his beauty my Saviour I see, when I shall look on his face, tongue cannot tell of the joy it will be, saved by his wonderful grace. How I rejoice that salvation is free, that I was not turned away. How I rejoice that my Saviour I see, where I may praise him free. We'll rise and we'll sing 713.